بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in عمدة الأحكام by الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى He died in the year 600 after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from the ulama of الحديث رحمه الله تعالى He mentioned in his book Umdat al-Ahkam, Kitab al-Salah, Bab al-Muwaqid. And we have been reading from the book of Salat in the chapter of the times of the prayer. And the author, he mentions narrations, and we have come to the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. And the author, he says, An Aisha radiallahu anha, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annuhu qal, Iza uqimat al-Salat, wa hadara al-Asha' فابدأوا بالعشاء إذا أقيمت الصلاة وحضر العشاء فابدأوا بالعشاء He mentioned the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he said that if the salat has been established and the food of العشاء the dinner is ready and been prepared and is ready to be served, فَابْدَأُوا بِالْعَشَاءِ Then you should begin with al-'ashā, with the food of the evening meal, the dinner. He says, وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرْ نَحْوُهُ And likewise, there is a similar narration. There is a similar narration to this narration from the narration of Ibn Umar, رضي الله And huma. And then he said, Rahimahullah, wa li muslimin anha qalat, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, la salata bi hadrati ta'am, wa la huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. That also there is a wording by al-Imam Muslim, also from the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that there is no prayer whenever the food is being brought. Or the food has been brought and is present, is being served and is ready. And also, likewise, whenever one is preventing himself from relieving himself, or also while one needs to relieve himself, any meaning to go to the restroom. وَلَا هُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ Inshallah, we'll discuss these narrations in a bit of detail. But we see that the topic and the intent of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioning these narrations in the chapter of As-Salah, or in the book of As-Salah, and in the chapter of the times of the obligatory prayer, that this is with regards to some of the instances or situations that would be considered a legislative excuse for a person to delay the prayer. From its first time or to delay the prayer and missing the congregation. So these are some of the legislated excuses for a person to delay the prayer from its first time or for a person to be late coming to the congregation or to be excused from joining the congregational prayer for those whom it's obligatory upon them to pray in congregation. Likewise, in these narrations, we see the clarification of some of the affairs that are considered makruhat as-salat. Makruhat as-salat. The affairs that are disliked, in the prayer. Some of the affairs that are disliked to be performed during the prayer. Al-makruh, it is known with the scholars of Al-Usul, Al-makruh, yani hukmun shar'i, it is one of the legislative rulings from Al-Ahkam al-Shar'iyya, Al-Khamsa, the five legislative rulings, and from them Al-makruh, and it is ma talaba al-shari'u tarkahu talaban ghayra jaziman. It is something that the legislator, something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has commanded the people to leave it. But it's not a certain or a definite command. Other scholars have mentioned al-makruh ma yuthabu fa'ilu ma yuthabu alayhi talikuhu wa la yu'aqabu alayhi fa'iluhu, that the one who leaves it off, he will have a reward for leaving it off. And the one who leaves off that which is considered makruh, and for the sake of Allah, he will have reward for that. And as for the one who performs it, then he is not going to be held accountable. This is the definition of al-makruh inda al-usuliyin. But here we have makruhat as-salah, some of the affairs that are disliked during the prayer. وَهِيَ الْأَشْيَاءُ الَّتِي تُخِلُّ بِكَمَالِهَا الْأَشْيَاءُ الَّتِي تُخِلُّ بِكَمَالِهَا وَلَا تُبْطِرُهَا. The ulama, they mentioned that makruhat, salat, the affairs that are disliked during the prayer, they are the affairs or the things, the statement, that, excuse me, the actions that will decrease and bring deficiency to the salat. And it will not be considered complete, or it will not be performed in its best manner. Rather, it will cause it to be deficient, although these actions will not invalidate the prayer. There are actions that are disliked in the prayer, meaning there are actions that bring deficiency and weakness to the prayer, and make the reward likewise lesser. At the same time, these affairs do not invalidate the salat. These affairs are mentioned here, and with regards to the chapter of the times of the prayer, it's clear that the author, he has mentioned this to clarify that there are some legislative reasons sometimes to delay the prayer. Not to delay it from its proper time, but to delay it later than its first time, or even for a person to delay the congregation or miss the congregation entirely. And from them are the issues that are mentioned in these narrations. But also the affairs that are mentioned in these narrations, they are from the affairs that are disliked in the prayer. And therefore, we see the reason why the excuse is valid. And that is because if a person were to perform the prayer in these manners, then he would be performing the prayer in a manner that is disliked. Therefore, in order to observe the completion of the prayer and the perfection of the prayer and to perform it properly, it is allowed for a person to delay it at this time. And the reality behind all of this, or the secret, and the wisdom behind these rulings here and these issues, is the fact that the soul or the ruh and the essence, the lubu salah wa ruhuha, وَمَقْصُودُهَا, and the intent, the main goal and intent from the prayer, الْخُشُوعُ وَحُضُورُ الْقَلْبِ. الْخُشُوعُ وَالْخُضُوعُ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَحُضُورُ الْقَلْبِ فِيهَا. That the goal and the essence of salah and the main purpose of the prayer is that the heart is present and that one is humble and submissive and in remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and in submission to Him. This is the soul or the essence of the prayer and the purpose of the prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in His book, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. So therefore, the essence of the prayer is to remember Allah and to be aware of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and His majesty and His greatness and to be in awe of Him and fear of Him and loving Him and worshiping Him with hope in this manner while the heart is present and not heedless. Because it is not befitting for a believer to approach the worship of his Lord in a state of heedlessness, especially not the action of a salah, whenever the prayer is considered, as the ulama have mentioned, munajat, المناجات بين العبد وربه والصلة بين العبد وربه. It is the connection between him and his Lord, and this is the private counsel and consultation between the servant and his Lord. Therefore, we see that these narrations, they mention the first narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, that if the prayer is established and food is brought and he prepared and is ready, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded that one must begin with the food. نعم إذا أقيمت الصلاة وحضر العشاء العشاء على وزن فعال like سماء not عشاء. العشاء is the prayer, صلاة العشاء بكسر العين العشاء, and also العشاء is that time after the Maghrib that we have studied before. But if you make the فتحة on the عين and you say العشاء العشاء, هذا طعام العشي طعام العشي طعام العشي وهو آخر النهار, the food that is prepared at the end of the day. At the end of the day. And it's from the manners and the customs of the people of Al-Madinah in those days that they would have the Asha before Maghrib, before the time of Maghrib, yani in the end of the Asr time, at the end of the day. Naam, and this is how it became with this name, Al-Asha, huwa ta'am al-ashi. والعشي المراد به هنا آخر النهار آخر النهار the food at the time and the end of the day يعني close to the evening before the night time before the night time. So if the prayer is established and the food is present and brought forward and it's ready, it's been prepared, then begin with the food. The ulama, they mentioned that this is a command here, فَابْدَأُوا بِالْعَشَى, then you must begin with al-asha, yani with the food, with the dinner. The ulama, they mentioned, or the majority of the scholars, they have clarified that this is in reference to an issue or a command that is yani recommended. It's not obligatory. Therefore, if the food was present and somebody did not begin with the food, rather he prayed anyways, while the food had been brought and the food had been prepared, his prayer would be accepted and his prayer would be correct. Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned consensus from the ulama with regards to this. So, فَبْدَأُوا بِالْعَشَى, you must begin with the Asha. This is a command, but the command here is for something that is recommended and not obligatory. So it's understood from that, that if somebody were to pray, to go ahead and pray, even if the food was prepared for him, even if he was in need of that food, then even if he was hungry and desiring that food, and still he left the food anyways and prayed, and did not comply to this command, his prayer would be correct. His prayer would be correct, but it would be disliked. It would be disliked for him. The author, he says, وَعَنِ بِنِ عُمَرْ نَحْوُهُ, and also there is a narration from Ibn Umar similar to this. And the wording of Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنهما, is narrated, the one who is narrating on him is Nafi, Mawla ibn Umar. رضي الله عنهما Nafi, رحمه الله. He said that Umar, he mentioned, إذا وضع عشاء أحدكم وأقيمت الصلاة فابدأوا بالعشاء ولا يعجل حتى يفرغ منه. The wording that is mentioned by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما is that if your dinner is placed, one of your dinner, the dinner of one of you is placed for you or ready for you, and the prayer is being established, then you should begin with your dinner and do not hasten in order to finish from your food quickly. So Nafi', the one who was narrating this narration on Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned about what he heard this narration from Ibn Umar, and likewise he saw him applying this, and he said, وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يُوضَعُ لَهُ الطَّعَامُ وَتُقَامُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلَا يَأْتِيهَا حَتَّى يَفْرُغَ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قِرَاءَةَ الْإِمَامِ. That Ibn Umar, he used to hear the narrator of this narration, and the one who was narrating on him this narration, he mentioned likewise that the narrator Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, he narrated the hadith and he applied it. And he said that the food used to be brought for him sometimes, and the prayer would be established, and he would not go to the prayer until he finished. And he would even be hearing the recitation of the imam. Likewise, in another wording by Ibn Umar as well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا كَانَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ فَلَا يَعْجَلْ حَتَّى يَقْضِي حَاجَتَهُ مِنْهُ وَإِنْ أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. That if one of you is eating his food, then he should not hasten. Then he should not hasten to finish his food until he takes what he needs from it, until he fulfills his need from it, even if the prayer is being established. So this is the ruling, and with regards to this issue, if the food has been prepared, and this coincides with the time of as-salah, the call to the prayer, the call for the man to stand and to go to the salat, meaning the obligatory salat in the masjid, and to join the congregation. What should he do? If it's time for the congregational prayer, and the iqama is being established, and the prayer is about to start, or he only has enough time to get to leave now to get to the prayer before it starts, at the same time the dinner is being prepared, or has been prepared, and the dinner is being served and it's ready, and this individual, he's hungry and he needs food, and his heart is and his soul is desiring the food, and he's thinking about the food and he's ready to eat, what should he do in this situation? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered this, and this is the issue here, that in this situation he should begin with the food, and he should eat his food, and he should not hasten to hurry up and finish it so that he can catch the prayer, but rather he would eat it and take from it what he needs. And the ulama, they mentioned that this is with regards to the individual who needs the food. And if the food is being prepared, and it's being served, and it's ready, and it coincides with the time of the prayer, and the person, he himself, he needs the food. He's desiring the food. He's waiting for the food. He is wanting to eat the food. And the likes like this. As for the person who has already eaten, he's not hungry, or his heart is not attached to the food, he's not thinking about the food, his mind is not concerned with the food, and there's food that is being served, this does not apply to him. This is in the case whenever a person, his mind is attached and thinking about the food, and his heart is thinking about the food, and he is hoping to and waiting for the food. And the ulama, they mention likewise that this is not specifically for the right of the person, although it is from the ease, bringing ease in the deen, alhamdulillah. But the main goal and intent behind this is that what was mentioned previously. And that is so that the believer will come to the prayer with his heart attached to Allah and not to the dunya. That the believer will come to the heart and he will not be preoccupied with anything from the dunya. Because if a person is hungry and a person is needing food and he's desiring food and he's smelt the food and the food is prepared and ready for him, and then he leaves it for a moment to do something else, that while he desires that food and needs that food, that other affair that he will be performing, he will not perform it entirely. He will not perform it properly. His heart is still attached to that food, and he can't wait to finish what he's involved in so he can go back to that which his heart desires and what his soul is attached to. So it's not befitting for a believer to come to the salat in this manner. Rather, the one who comes to the salat, he should leave the dunya behind him. And this is what a believer has to strive against his soul to perform every time he comes to the prayer. Whether it's obligatory or not obligatory, that he will leave the dunya behind him. And then whenever he steps into the salat, he steps into the private consultation with his Lord. Al-Munajat bi Rabbihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, to maintain and to observe the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to also honor and have reverence and respect for this great action of worship, as salat, then one, he should not come to it, he should not approach it except whenever he is completely finished with the dunya, and his heart is completely free from the affairs of the dunya, and his mind is focused on the issue at hand, and that is worshipping his Creator and worshipping his Lord. Worshipping his Creator and worshipping his Lord. So therefore, the reason for this command to not pray, rather to give preference to the food, even if the obligatory prayer is established and the congregation has stood and began to pray the obligatory prayer, then the person in this situation, it's preferred for him to miss that obligation, even though the congregation is obligatory for a man to attend, especially if it is close to him and he lives in the vicinity of the masjid where it's an obligation upon him. Even in this case, it's allowed for him, rather preferred for him to not go whenever he is in this situation. Whenever he is in this situation, and this is all to observe the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to worship him with the presence of mind and with the heart that is alive, and a heart that is concerned, and a heart that is aware and not heedless, and a heart that is not preoccupied from the remembrance of Allah azza wa jalla, and from hoping in him and from fearing him, from a heart that is not preoccupied from that with the affairs of the dunya, with the affairs of the dunya. So the ulama, they mentioned that this is understood with the ones who has a need for the food, and that food will cause him to become preoccupied from al-khushu', from al-khushu'. So this indicates the greatness of al-khushu' and humbleness and humility in the presence of the heart in the salat, and that this is the essence of the prayer. نعم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That verily the believers, they are successful. Who are they? They are the ones who they are, when they perform their salat, they are خَاشِعُونَ. They are in a state of خُشُوع. They are in a state of humbleness, and they are still الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. And they perform their salat constantly, and also while they perform it, they are still, and they don't move around, and their minds are also focused, and they're not thinking about the affairs of the dunya. Rather, they are focused, and their heart is present, and their mind is aware of what they are performing, that they are worshipping Allah, and that they are hoping for the reward from Allah, and that they are fearing the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is what is going on in their minds, and they're thinking of the hereafter and the meeting of Allah. While they're praying, and they're concentrating on what they are saying and trying to comprehend what they are reciting or what is being recited, or what they are saying whenever they're in ruku' and in sujood, and what is being recited in the prayer, whether they are reciting or the imam is reciting in front of them, and the likes like this. This is what they will strive to be aware of. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبَرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. So al-khushu', this is a very important part of salat, whether it's the soul of salat, whether it's the essence of salat, whether it's the intent from the establishment of the salat. وَاقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. وَاقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. So therefore, if the food is being prepared, and the salat is being established, then we begin with the food. And it's because it's disliked to come to salat, while the heart is preoccupied. While the heart is preoccupied with the dunya, or with other than the prayer. The heart is preoccupied, and the mind is preoccupied in thinking about the affairs of the dunya, and thinking about food, and thinking about the issues of this life and this worldly affairs, and the likes like this. This is not the way the salat should be performed. So therefore, it's allowed for a person to miss the congregation or to delay the prayer from its first time, and without any blame or sin, if this is his situation here. As for the one who intends to prepare the food, يعني إذا حضر الطعام, يعني إذا أقيمت الصلاة وحضر العشاء, وحضر, and the عشاء, the dinner has been prepared and it's presented, it's ready. The ulama, they mentioned that this is the case, and sometimes this may occur. Sometimes this may occur in a person, he did not intend that. And sometimes maybe the food is late, or the person himself is running late, and he did not get to eat, or it just happened to occur on one day that the food was prepared at the time of the prayer, without any intent. Then this is what this narration is referring to, and this is the ruling that is intended here. As for the one who intends to make the food at that time in order for him to miss the prayer, and his intention is to miss the prayer, how can he miss the prayer? Or miss the congregation, excuse me, or to delay it from his first time? This is what he wants to do. هذا مقصده وقصده ونيته. This is his intention and what he is hoping to achieve, that he does not want to go to the congregation. So he'll have the food prepared at that time on purpose. This narration does not include him. And this person is blameworthy, and he must be prohibited, and he should be censored. And if it's known that he does it like this, then he should be blamed, and he should be mentioned and reprimanded. And this is not allowed, and he'll be held accountable for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mutari'un ala niyat al-ibad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is all aware of the intentions of the servants. So a person, he must fear Allah azza wa jalla, and not try to have a hila and a way out from fulfilling the obligations and fulfilling the requirements and the regulations and that which is incumbent upon him with regards to the affairs of the deen. This ruling is specific to those who this happens any sometimes, or happens any without intention, and the likes like this. So therefore, it's not allowed for a person to intend to prepare the food at that time and to serve at that time on purpose in order to miss the food, or even to make it a custom to have the food ready at the time of the salat. This is not allowed, and this is not what is intended. But rather, what is intended is to bring ease in the deen. And whenever a person, he found himself in this situation without making this foul intention, then this is allowed for him, and this is easy for him. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Now, there have been some wordings that have been mentioned with this narration that it is specific to al-Maghrib. And one wording by Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا قُدِّمَ الْعَشَى فَابْدَأُ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تُصَلُّوا صَلَاةِ الْمَغْرِبِ وَلَا تَعْجَلُوا عَنْ عَشَائِكُمْ. That if the Asha has been presented, it's ready, prepared, then begin with it before you pray al-Maghrib. Yani al-Asha, it's known that that's the time in the end of the day. And the food at the time of the end of the day is called al-Asha. Yani al-Isha. Yani is that time and the night time. Yani, and also al-Asha is the food at the end of the day. Wal-Ashi is the end of the day as well. So yani, this is in reference to Salat al-Maghrib specifically. Salat al-Maghrib specifically. So therefore, some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is only with regards to Salat al-Maghrib, that this is what is intended, and they use that as a proof here. And that is mentioned, Salat al-Maghrib has been mentioned in the narration of Anas. And likewise, the time for al-Asha is before Salat al-Maghrib. So the prayer that will coincide with al-Asha is Salat al-Maghrib. Is Salat al-Maghrib. But there is a principle in the deen that the ulama of usul have established, and it is al-hukmu yadurru ma'illatihi adaman wa wujuda, that the ruling, it revolves around its reason, whether it's present or not present. And we see that the reason for this ruling is so that the heart will not be preoccupied, and that the mind will not be preoccupied, and that a person, he will be able to concentrate, and he will be able to have khushu' in the prayer. So therefore, if it happened in Fajr, or Dhuhr, or Asr, or Maghrib, or Isha, any prayer, then the ruling is the same. So it's not specific to Al-Maghrib, because the reason is not specific to Maghrib, but rather this is just the event that occurred in this particular narration. And even in the wording of Aisha radiallahu anha, there's no mention of the time, although the word Asha is mentioned, and that is that time, the food in that specific time. But there are other prayers, like the other narration of Aisha as well, this is Sahih Muslim, La salata bihadrati ta'am, that there is no prayer whenever the food is being presented, whenever the food is prepared and ready. Yani, this is general. This is general. So therefore, the ruling is general. Therefore, the ruling is general. So there are many benefits from this narration. This is some of them. And the main point that we should benefit from is the importance of al-khushu' and the importance of being humble in salat and being aware in the prayer and thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Him and not thinking of the dunya, because this is an act of worship, and a person should not approach the actions of worship with a heart that is heedless. He should not approach the actions of worship with a heart that is heedless. And those thoughts that occur to the mind during the prayer that take him away from the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal, they come from the love of the dunya. And they proceed and they begin from the love of the dunya. So a believer, he has to strive against his soul in the prayer particularly, in order to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to not be heedless, and to not be forgetful, and to not be negligent, and let his heart wander and his mind wander until he forgot what he prayed, or forgot what he recited, or he will pray and he will stand and he will not know what the imam has recited. And this is something that is very blameworthy. This is something that is very, very blameworthy. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ وَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ إِلَّا عَشْرُ صَلَاتِهِ تِسْعُهَا ثُمْنُهَا سُبْعُهَا سُدْسُهَا خُمْسُهَا رُبْعُهَا ثُلْثُهَا نِسْفُهَا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily a man, he will leave his prayer and it would only be written for him a tenth of his reward, or a ninth of its reward, or an eighth, or a seventh, or sixth, or fifth, or fourth, or third, or half. And he meaning according to how much his mind was present, and how much he had his heart aware and alive during the prayer, and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this will be according to how much or how great his reward is, or how deficient his reward will be. So according to the khushu' and the presence of the heart, hudur al-qalb, this will be the means to determine the reward of the servant and the slave when he performs the prayer, or the deficiency that is found therein. Again, Allah, He says, وَأَقِيمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. There are still some benefits to discuss with regards to the second narration the author mentioned of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا صلاة بحضرتي طعام ولا هو يدافع الأخبثان, that there is no prayer at the time when food is being presented, nor whenever he is in need to relieve himself. So, بإذن الله تعالى, we will continue in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.